just a heads up, everyone, these are adults having adult conversations, so there is the possibility of adult language. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons, a podcast produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. I'm Elizabeth Gilbert, and I just wrote this book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. But even when I was finished with the book, I didn't feel like I was really finished with the subject. So I wanted to make this podcast where I could take the subject of creativity out into the world and have real conversations with real people about it. And that's where magic lessons come from. And what are magic lessons? Roadmaps for the path to creativity, the extra nudge we need when we're feeling stuck in our creative lives. Hey everyone, welcome to Magic Lessons. I'm Liz Gilbert. In the last episode, I spoke with Melissa Phillips in California. She's a singer-songwriter who wants to write new songs, but for some reason she just can't. She told me how she's still dealing with grief over the loss of her sister 3 years ago, and how that's blocking her creativity now. I gave her my take on the situation, but I also wanted to call up a friend of mine, the extraordinarily sensitive human being and amazing novelist, Ann Patchett, for some extra help. Is that famous Nashvillean author Ann Patchett?
Am I going to have to call you Elizabeth during this?
So here is what I'm doing. This is a podcast called Magic Lessons. And what I did was I put out a call to people who are feeling stuck in a particular creative project. And you are the expert witness in the case of wonderful Melissa. Melissa is a singer-songwriter who has been quietly and steadfastly and with great diligence learning how to interact with her craft. She was quick to point out to me that she's slow. It takes her a long time under the best of circumstances to make songs. She's careful. She has made some really beautiful music that I've listened to. She sounds a lot like Patty Griffin. She's really lovely. But she has had a terrible thing happen in her life, which is that her beloved, wonderful, light-filled, gorgeous younger sister passed away at the age of 32, leaving behind two little kids. And this happened 3 years ago, and she has not been able to write music since. And I specifically wanted to bring you in to talk a little bit about your process of writing Truth and Beauty, about your dear friend Lucy's death, and some thoughts that I've heard you say in the past about the therapeutic benefits of that and what that did for you, how long it took you to get to the point where you could even write about it, and then whatever you want to freestyle.
You know, with Lucy, I went immediately to the writing. There were a lot of rumors surrounding her death, and I wrote a piece which wound up being a cover story for New York Magazine about her death, sort of just to set things straight. From there, I realized there were so many more things that I wanted to say, and I got to work on the book probably a month later. I mean, I wrote the magazine piece immediately, and by the time she'd been dead a month, I was working on the book.
Wow.
And it made absolute sense to me, but I remember thinking all the time, it was like sticking my hand on the eye of a stove. And it was, every day of work was really sort of, how long can I keep my hand here? How long can I keep my hand here? But it doesn't sound like Melissa is trying to write about her sister. Is it that this tragedy has blocked her creatively, or that she has something specifically she wants to say about her sister?
Well, if I understand, based on what we discussed, she's in this limbo where she does and does not want to write about her sister. She feels sort of ethically conflicted about, I think, whether she has the right to do that. She feels conflicted about whether that's something she wants to share with anybody. But she also more, I think her biggest problem is she feels like she can't do anything else until she writes about her sister, but she also can't write about her sister.
Now that I have the answer to.
Go.
Okay. She absolutely writes about her sister. Absolutely. And then what she does with that is a decision to be made much later outside of the creative process. What we do creatively, all doors must be open all the time. You can't ever shut a door creatively and say, I can't do this. It isn't right. It isn't ethical. It's not for me to say. It is 100% for her to say. And she needs to, as an artist, and as a sister, dive into that well and make that art, period.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, she will make the decision about whether or not she wants to show it to anybody else. But those are two completely different brains, and you can't make that, not to say it's a business decision, but whether or not she's going to want to bring this work forward.
There are things that you simply have to write because they have to be written, and they don't all have to see the light of day.
I really think that we use other people to say, well, I can't write this because this other person's going to be upset about it. But in fact, one, nobody ever really cares what we do artistically. I think that's the universal truth. And two, it's how we save ourselves from the pain of having to write it, from the pain of putting our hand on the eye of the stove, because that really is super unpleasant. But when it's written, it's amazing at the extent to which people usually don't care. And if they do care, they're people you don't care about.
Well, and my experience with this is that you can lose a lot of sleep worrying about what somebody's going to think about what you wrote, and they will not be the one who is upset. You know, I've been sued by people who were literally like half of a sentence in a book that I wrote. And I was like, really? Like, wow, you had to really go deep mining to try to find something to be upset about. And this is like, it's just something so innocuous. And at the same time, people who I was really, really, really concerned with don't care at all. So it's not who you think is going to be upset who's going to be upset. And it's not what you think they're going to be upset about.
Right.
And I think your idea that anxiety becomes a shield that protects you from having to do the work is a really good and really honest and galvanizing point to be made.
And to bring this all back to Melissa and her huge pain, that's the problem. You know, to have to really sit down in a room alone and say, what could I possibly write that would be worthy of my sister? How could I possibly put this into words, how horrible this is, how much I love her and how much I miss her. That is the impossible thing. And in facing that impossible thing, which I think is that's the more important conversation, how do you face that? And that is, you just tell the truth, you just keep trying. You realize the limitations of words and notes and music to possibly express this loss and this love, and you just have to keep facing it. I mean, I feel like at the heart of this question is that painful answer, music isn't enough. Mm-hmm. Music won't ever be big enough to deal with the loss of your sister. I wish to God I could remember the name of the man who wrote a piece of music. I want to say he was a jazz musician. I read this in the Times not that long ago, and he wrote a piece about his 6-year-old daughter being shot at Sandy Hook.
Oh, God.
And he was he's an important professional musician, and he did it. You know, what in the world? How could you possibly find that in yourself? And yet it makes perfect sense to me that he could not have gone on as a musician until he faced that.
Art is not enough, but it is the closest we can get.
There you go, Liz.
And I'm delighted that we had this conversation because you and I just gave Melissa two completely opposite pieces of advice.
Like to encapsulate?
Yeah, well, I just think it's really cool because now she has options. She can decide which one of her sister nuns she wants to listen to, right? Because we've both interpreted the scripture differently. And I think we're both right, which is also the wonderful thing about creativity is that there are so many different directions that you can take to get to the same point. What I said to her was, I feel like the assignment that you've given yourself is too hard and it's stopping you from doing anything. Sometimes people can kill their artistry by, in a way, holding it too high on a pedestal. And so what I encouraged her to do was to not write about her sister right now, but to give her an assignment to try to write a song that was about joy and celebration and light and something just completely off topic. And my hope was that she could then get to her sister through that. So she now has two completely different pieces of advice. And the really wonderful thing is she can choose her path. She can try both. She can go indirectly, or she could put her hand on the eye of the stove. She can go back and forth between them. It's a science experiment of the heart. And so whichever one of these resonates with you, Melissa, or all the other Melissas out there, pick that path. In the end, your destiny is to ultimately tell this story somehow. And part of you won't rest until you do. And it may be directly, it may be indirectly, but you're going to get there.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because it may be directly, it may be indirectly, because probably everything is going to be this story, but it can also be the really happy parts of the story. I mean, I always think Truth and Beauty is such a funny book. It's a really lighthearted, funny book until the point at which it no longer is.
Or you could say it's a really heavy, grieving book until the point at which it's lighthearted and funny.
Yeah.
So it goes sort of in both directions. Like, we are all of those things at the same time. You know, we are full of grief. We are full of hope. And one thing I know is that Melissa has to write songs. She has to write songs. She can write sad songs. She can write happy songs, but she has to write songs.
Yeah, and let me, as long as I'm being contrary, let me say one thing about that too, which is don't let not writing songs be one more thing in your life you feel bad about.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Another weapon to hurt yourself with?
Yeah, because really, might not work. Might not work.
Right.
Might not work for a really long time. Might not work ever. And I mean, I hate to say that, but that's a possibility. And to lay that on yourself on top of everything is also just a real unkindness. Boy, sometimes it takes such a long time for our life to filter down into music.
My sweet friend, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your intelligence and your wonderful answer, which I hope will help Melissa or anybody else listening to this. Thank you, Anne.
Bye, Liz.
Bye-bye. Anne Patchett is the author of several books, including Bel Canto, Truth and Beauty, and State of Wonder. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee, where she owns Parnassus Books, an independent bookstore that is sort of single-handedly rescuing the literary scene of Nashville. She's pretty incredible. You can learn a lot more about her at annpatchett.com. Thanks for listening. I really hope you'll join me next time. Magic Lessons is produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. Michelle Siegel is our producer. Our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. Our theme music is by Dave Cahill. Special thanks to Becky Salatin, Jeffrey Klosky, Michelle Kafopoulos, Lydia Hurt, and Paul Ruest of Argo Studios. If you want to learn more about my ideas on creative inspiration, check out my new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's published by Riverhead, and it comes out September 22nd, 2015. You can find out more information about my comings and goings on elizabethgilbert.com, and you can always find me, personally, on Facebook, because I'm there literally every single day. So let's keep the conversation going. Next time on Magic Lessons, a painter who's looking to reclaim her creative vitality.